Howdy. Let's try this. Let's try this phrase. See if you guys can finish it for me. Maybe your parents had this phrase going on in your house and you hate it, but this is the phrase. With freedom comes... Thank you. That's right. Now, I don't know if my parents ever really actually taught me that or if I really actually learned that phrase more when I went through a parenting class and that phrase came up an awful lot. And it's kind of a cool concept, really. And I don't know whether I should get all into this or not. I didn't really plan on this. But in this parenting class, they talk about this funnel and about you parenting within the funnel and how kids oftentimes, when they're young, they have ultimate freedom. And then once they are old enough to actually know what the remote control buttons actually do on the TV, they become very annoying people. And so you actually take away some of their freedom. And because their responsibility wasn't able to handle their freedom at that point. And so as they get a little older, they're actually more and more things are taken away from them. And they feel by age 18 like they're bottlenecked. And the other kids that are given no freedom, but as they get older, their responsibilities grow. If you give them freedom, then the funnel goes this way rather than this way. What's odd is that by age 18, these two people that were raised in opposite homes, one feels bottlenecked and like I want to just rebel, and the other person feels like I'm free as a bird and I'm ready to just live this life that God's given. It's kind of a cool way. Remember that for that's. That was a bonus, okay? That's not about today. But tonight, I really do want to talk about freedom and responsibility. They are attached at the hip. You cannot have one healthily without the other. When I was 5 years old, I had the privilege on this old back dirt road to go out and get the mail. The mailbox was across the street, across the road. And I had the responsibility of looking both ways, or I didn't have the freedom to get the mailbox, right? Go to the mailbox. Age 16, there's the whole car thing, and you need to stop at stop signs and stuff like that, right? You guys are going to have a whole new problem when you have kids because they're going to have this freedom that they want and expect called the phone. And they have to exhibit some responsibility with who they are in conversation with, etc. I think we know we could take this to the nth degree and we don't need to go there. But I do believe that we all understand that freedom and responsibility go together. With freedom comes responsibility. Thank you. Thank you for the three that continue to remember that phrase. There is a time in your life when, and it's right about now for a lot of you, when you begin to enjoy the things that you didn't enjoy before, where you take this responsibility seriously, and it almost becomes kind of fun to wash your car because it's yours. I was raised cleaning up our house. My mom was very, very particular about how we had to have the house cleaned, and we had to always vacuum and wash, and picking up was not an option. Cleaning, there's a difference, I hear, right? Cleaning and picking up. And so my mom was into this cleaning. I hated it. I just hated it. And then I went off to college, and I went to this little Bible college, and we got this roommate, and we had these really nice, like, almost suites. You know, we had, like, a bathroom inside our room, so it was, like, a little apartment. And while we were there, I remember we were about ready to head off to spring break, and before we left, we both kind of got this itch to clean our pigsty that we lived in. It wasn't all that bad, but we certainly wanted to, we got excited about cleaning, and as we got into it, we ended up, and maybe this is completely foreign to some guys, most guys, I'm sure. But we got kind of excited about actually picking up the couch, cleaning out whatever was underneath it, vacuuming under the couch. Now, that's a new level, okay? That's like a whole new level. We'd vacuum under the couch. We cleaned out the refrigerator. We bought some non-perishable stuff, I guess. I remember having just our cupboards were stocked, and our refrigerator was clean, and our bathrooms were clean, and I mean everything was immaculate. And it, you know how you can tell, right, when it's really clean? Yeah, it smells good too. And I remember we just went crazy with it. So we got it all clean. We leave for spring break. And I remember coming back. We went on the same trip, and we're coming back. And it always feels good to come home to a clean house. And I remember we're coming home, and we're talking about how cool it's going to be when we walk in, and it's just going to be just how we left it, and we're just going to breathe in that fresh smell. And so we open the door, and it was unrecognizable. There were potato chips in all of the cracks of the couch and all over. The couch and the chairs were all turned. There was a TV from down the hall that was moved in. There was a big table that was like a big card table, big circular table that was down in the recreation area that was slid into our room. There's cards everywhere. There's drinks everywhere. There's the smell of rotten pizza in the air. Our cupboards have been ransacked. The toilet's dirty. Everything was a mess. And I remember being so angry at some of our friends down the hall that totally destroyed what we had cleaned up. Tonight, we're going to jump into the next feast. If you're new with us, we're celebrating something. We're diving into the Old Testament, where God gave a command for the Israelites, his people, to follow these seven feasts throughout the course of a year, these seven ceremonies, these seven particular times of the year. And last week we started with Passover. And Passover was all about what? What was the theme last week? Yeah, freedom, right? We wrote down the things that we wanted to be freed from, and we put those in our offering basket. Now, if you want to continue to pray for people's freedom, that's actually back at the campus house up on the wall. And this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And unleavened bread is actually a part of Passover. With the Passover meal, there are certain things that you do within the Passover meal, one of which is you celebrate the beginning of unleavened bread. Now, the actual ceremony or feast of unleavened bread doesn't officially start until the day after Passover. Passover starts on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. The 15th day is the day of unleavened bread, but it lasts for 7 days. God has this holy number seven that he is absolutely in love with. There's the number three and the number seven are these numbers of completion or unity or perfection. And an unleavened bread lasts for 7 days, okay? But there's like a teaser within Passover that unleavened bread is coming the next day. You guys follow me? Okay, we need to be really with this because it's going to get intricate here tonight. And it's interesting that if I was to categorize a theme or a topic to unleavened bread, it would be responsibility. And isn't it interesting that it is attached to the hip to Passover, which is all about freedom? If you weren't here last week, it was about rescuing. God establishes a relationship in a nation by first taking them from a captive place and rescuing them out and saying, I am your deliverer. And upon delivery, now we have this other feast in which to celebrate. Let's go ahead and read the description of that in Leviticus 23. It says here, the Lord's Passover, okay, begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, The Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. Okay. That's kind of a repeat of what I just said, but I want you to gather in what that significance would hold. There are three parts. Well, I'm trying to do this without PowerPoint or without notes, because I want you guys to jump in this journey with me, and I want you to be able to repeat this to your friends if in case they ever do ask. Okay, what was tonight about? Well, it's about unleavened bread, and let me give you all the details about it. Actually, you don't actually need to tell your friends so much, but I want you to grasp this, because this was something that was a part of the ritual of someone who was Jewish. Every year they celebrated these feasts. Every year they celebrated unleavened bread. And this pattern was beat into their brains. And that pattern is what really ends up becoming such a beautiful thing. It's every single year hitting these same themes. We talked about all the details of Passover last week and how amazing it was that Jesus fulfilled Passover on Passover by being the Lamb himself upon that cross. And now we're going to take this thing one step further. Based upon that scripture that we just read, unleavened bread is the day after Passover. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's just describe what Passover is. In repeat of what we just said, I broke this into three. There's three descriptions of unleavened bread. The first is that it starts the day after Passover. It's connected to Passover. It lasts for 7 days. And what was the other one? Oh, and in order to start this whole thing off, you needed to clean your house. Much like I just described. We're not talking about picking up the house. We're talking about cleaning the house. And every year, this Jewish custom was, we need to clean, and we need to clean good. We need to boil all the dishes kind of good. We need to take all yeast, which has got much more significance to it, and we'll get to that in a second, but all bread, what's made with yeast. You guys know the significance of yeast? Ben and I were talking today how it's kind of a shame that in our culture today, we really are not. You guys are probably not going to really grasp how this was a part of everyone's culture at one time, because we go to the supermarket and we buy bread that's already sliced, for crying out loud. It's not, you don't even have to watch it rise. But yeast is the element within bread that kind of, in the dough, that makes it rise. And a little bit of, isn't there a phrase, a little bit of yeast, what? Yeah, blah, 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 blah. That's exactly right. A little bit of yeast kind of spreads throughout the whole batch. That's all you need, is just a little bit. And the reason, I guess I'll jump into it right now, the reason that that's significant is that throughout the Bible, yeast is a metaphor for sin. All it takes is a little bit of yeast, a little bit of sin, and it ends up spreading through your whole family, through your whole household, through your whole campus, through your whole culture, through your whole person, who you are. Sin just spreads. And we need to clean house at least once a year. And so God gave the Israelites a very tangible task. See, I love that God knows how I work. I don't like just jumping into this theological realm and trying to understand God there. I like it when God comes down to our level and he just makes it very clear. And that's what I just love. I love about God is he does this so often if we really look. Is what he does is he says, I want you guys on the Feast of Unleavened Bread that week, I want you to clean your house. I want you to just clean your house. And I want you to take every bit of yeast, every bit of leaven, that's another word for it, out of the house. And they took it so seriously that actually before that meal, what they would do is the dad would take a little bit of leaven crumbs, bread crumbs, and he would stick them on the edge of the table. He'd sweep them into a napkin, and he'd wrap that napkin up, and then he'd take it down to the temple, and he would burn it. Then he would come back, and he would clap his hands like this, and he would say, "May any other leaven, may any other yeast that we have forgotten or misplaced or didn't somehow catch, may it become as dust." In other words, God, we're trying to cover ourselves here. We've done the best we can. If there's anything we've missed, may it just not be considered as yeast. That's how seriously they took this. Okay? So the cleaning had to happen. So that's the three things. That there's a cleaning, it's connected to Passover, because freedom and responsibility are together. And then the third thing is it lasted for 7 days. It's a process. We need to understand that this wasn't just a one-day deal. This was a process. Over 7 days, we're to allow God in his way to replace what we have cleaned up or what we have made dirty. I can remember when I came back and I saw that dirty place, how angry I was at the guys down the hall. But if I'm really honest, I think if we're talking spiritually, the times that I have cleaned up my house, I've almost always let it get back to dirty. And I have no one to blame but myself. And let me just, in case you're wondering where I'm going tonight, we're going to talk about spiritually cleaning your house and taking a seven-day process before we come back next Monday night and trying to make an attempt to really allow God to fill in what we've cleaned out. Okay? That's kind of where we're heading. So those are the three things about the feast. Now, I want to talk specifically seven or eight things about this stuff right here. This is unleavened bread. And it's got lots of neat characteristics to it. The first of which is it's pretty thin. It is without yeast. And when it's without yeast, it does not rise. And it's very cracker-like. Can you hear that? That's one thing, and I thought I could do this without notes, but I don't think I can. The other thing, oh yeah, I can do it without notes. The other thing is that it's without decay. It doesn't, it lasts a lot longer. Like, you know, you put your bread up on the counter, and after a while you start looking through that plastic and you can start seeing how it's got little mold spots here and there, right? That's probably never happened to you, I'm sure. This can last an awful long time without decay. There's not that yeast element. So it's without yeast. It's without decay. It's also got to have like stripes. Can you guys see the stripes next to it here? You got that little stripe effect going on. And it's also got, if it's made right, it's got these little teeny holes through it. Can you see the holes? No? Can't really see those, can you? Well, they're there. I can see you. There are just little tiny holes throughout the whole thing. So we're this far. I guess I might as well cheat all the way, right? So those are the characteristics of the leaven itself. The unleavened bread has to look and feel and be like this, okay? The other thing it needs, within this Passover meal, I told you there's a little teaser about unleavened bread, the feast for the next day. And at the end of the Passover meal, the head of the home would stand up, and he would have, next to his plate, he'd have three pieces of unleavened bread, all as big as that, wrapped within a napkin. Now, you can only see one of those, can't you? The first one is within the napkin folded in, but you can't see it. The second one is in between, and you can see it. And the third one is on the bottom, and that's like the first. You can see it's wrapped up, but you can't see it's there. So there's three, and there's this idea of three meaning unity, right? We talked about that a second ago. And so that's got to happen. At the center, at the end of that same meal, I won't take the actual one. We'll take this one. Pretend this is the middle one. And what someone would do is the head of the household would break that bread. He would take it and he would put it inside of another napkin. And then he would hide it for the kids to find. And at the end of the meal, the kids would find it. They would retrieve it. Now, this is all happening around Easter time for us. And I have to think that maybe the idea of the hiding the eggs and may have come from this, right? I also don't know if spring cleaning has always just been spring cleaning, but it's kind of interesting that spring cleaning goes back before Abraham, before our country was even around, way before that. And to think that spring cleaning is a part of God's feast, maybe that's where that originated from as well. So those are the elements. Those are the details. That's kind of what unleavened bread looks like. Kind of boring, right? You're just kind of like, well, okay. And so every year, I'm sure that's what the Jews thought too. They'd sit down. They'd be like, okay, clean the house. It's Passover. Let's kill the lamb. Okay, we're going to start unleavened bread tomorrow. It's going to last 7 days. Let's make sure it's without yeast. Let's make sure it's without decay. Let's make sure it's got holes. Let's make sure it's got stripes. Let's make sure we stack it three high. Let's get the middle one out. Let's break it. And let's wrap it up and let's go hide it. Let the kids go find it. And they would do this every year, every year, every year, every year, every year. God does not give us repetition for repetition's sake. He does it for a purpose. He does it for a reason. And he wanted them to remember, yes, that they were rescued and that they were in Egypt and that they were rescued out of captivity. Sure, he wanted to remember that. But God also wanted them to know that there was something else coming. And I want to convince you here tonight, whether maybe you're not a believer, I hope there's some of you in the crowd tonight. Because what I'm about to share with you is beyond coincidence. It is only God's plan that this kind of thing could happen. If you were here last week, you know how powerful Passover is, where God actually decided on this very day that they do the Passover meal, Jesus is going to be on a cross and he's going to die. He's going to look just like that Passover lamb, and he is going to take our sins, and he's going to make us free. Free as a bird. And now with freedom comes responsibility. If you were not with us the last few weeks, also we talked about the Jewish day begins at dinner. Begins at 6 p.m.-ish, sundown. And it lasts till that same time the next day. And so when Jesus had his Passover meal on what would be Thursday night for us, it was really Friday for him. And so Friday, when he's dying on the cross, it is the same day as the Passover was celebrated that, in our minds, the night before. All the same day. And then Jesus dies on this cross. It says about 3 p.m. Now he's got 3 hours before unleavened bread begins. He's got 3 hours before the Sabbath begins. Remember, the Sabbath is actually a Saturday. So the Sabbath is starting in 3 hours from Jesus' death. And there is description of guys running and rushing Jesus to the burial tomb because they didn't want to touch a dead body on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is firmly in the tomb well before unleavened bread begins. But that night before at the Passover, Jesus gave a little foreshadowing himself with his disciples at that table. So let's jump in and let's go slowly through this. Maybe not so slowly, kind of, well, not real quickly either, but we'll move right through this. Got kind of stuck on the quick and the slow there. I'm sorry. Let's see if you guys can remember. I'm going to quiz you. The three parts of the actual feast are what? What was the first one we talked about? Cleaning the house. Thank you. Jesus, the week that he, Holy Week, the week that he dies, they have palm branches down, and he comes walking into town, and it says that he went to the temple, and he noticed that they were money changers, and he noticed that they were doing all kinds of stuff in his father's house that wasn't what his father's house was about, and so he ended up turning over the tables, and he ended up taking a whip of cords that he had premeditated and made that Ben talked about a few weeks ago, and was snapping it at people and cleaning that place out because it was not what it was intended to be. He says, my father's house is to be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a den of robbers. So when everyone else is cleaning their house, Jesus goes into his house and does some cleaning. Not metaphorically. He actually cleaned out the temple on the very day that everyone else was cleaning their house. Maybe that's a coincidence. We move throughout the week, and then we have Passover, and that ends up happening. And does that happen coincidentally? Jesus dies, like we just said, on a cross as the Lamb for our sins? I don't think so. What was the next part? It says that it's tied to Passover, right? In the Passover meal, what they'll do is they will say that this bread is remembering how when the original people, when the original Israelites escaped out of Egypt, they had to make bread quickly or in haste because they were leaving. They were leaving so abruptly. And then they would eat on this as they left. You know, I got to thinking about it, and I don't want to make this too metaphorical, but I don't think it is. For a lot of us, we have experienced freedom this week. And what we experienced last week was a very powerful evening where, yeah, Jesus' blood frees us. And that can be happening in an instant, and we can have that freedom. But we need to do something with that freedom. We need to fill ourselves with something else because once it's clean, it's open, but it gets dirty again real quick. And we need to have the responsibility of filling ourselves with the right thing. And so then the third part is it's a seven-day process. It's a holy process. It's God's process. Okay, now, that was kind of a hard quiz, those three. You were going to pass it, I'm sure. I just forgot to keep asking you. What about the elements of this? First off, it's very what? Thin, which means it's unleavened, without yeast or without sin, and it does not decay. Let's read 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7. This is Paul talking, trying to get people to understand what sin is. And to the Jews, they wouldn't understand it as clear. They understood very clearly. Now maybe we have a little bit of insight to see why Paul used this language. He says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been crucified, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So this is intentional. This is intentional. Without decay, let's go to Psalms. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. This is a prophecy that God would not allow Jesus to decay. Did he decay? No. He raised from the dead. There's the other part where it says that we have stripes and holes. Isaiah 53 says this, that Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus, he was pierced for our transgressions, holes. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is a sinless, striped, pierced replica of a man named Jesus. Make no mistake about it. That is unleavened bread. The other part of the meal was when you brought these three together, right? And you had these three stacked in the napkin. And it's interesting, as I'm reading, the Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Many don't. Many are Messianic Jews, and they do believe that. But for the most part, most Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so as I'm reading on this website and these different, according, because they're all celebrating these feasts still, but they have no idea of the richness of how it is fulfilled today for with Jesus. And so they know God's about unity. Three means unity. And so here's some of the things that I read that are some of the guesses that are made by Jewish leaders today of what this threesome actually represents. Some believe it's Levites, priests, and the common people. Some believe it's the crown of learning, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. Some believe it represents Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if I was to ask you, if this striped, pierced, sinless, without decay piece is in the middle, and the other two you can't see, but you know are there, what would you say it was? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's look at Luke 23. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. This is the person who wanted to bury Jesus. And then he took it down. He wrapped it in linen cloth. He placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. So you remember that part, right? That they would take that middle piece out, that they would break it, and then they would wrap it in linen. In case you're still confused about what this three might be, they would wrap it in linen, and then what would they do? And then they would go and they would hide it in a rock or bury it later to be retrieved. People. This is about Jesus. all of these feasts are about Jesus. And isn't it interesting that Jesus dies in just enough time to be buried in a tomb so that throughout the entire first day of unleavened bread, he is wrapped in a tomb without decay? Let me just ask you, what do you think next week might be about? Passover was about his death. Unleavened bread is about his burial. And if you want to talk about resurrection, next week, resurrection. But here's tonight, what I need to finish with is this idea. I want us to kind of get into this mode of experiencing, okay? We just saw it. We understand it now, right? But we haven't really fully experienced it. And so what I'm hoping here to do is give us a chance to just spend the rest of this night being a little bit messy, okay? We're going to have the worship band come up in a little bit. We're going to sing. We're going to take communion tonight with unleavened bread. It's in the corners. We're going to let this be a time of filling for you. Before we actually do that, let me just tell you this. It's kind of neat that God gives us 7 days. That's kind of the commitment. 7 days of unleavened bread. Because it takes time to be responsible. It takes time to fill yourself back up with what you need. See, emptying ourselves is one thing. You know, I'm freed from that. It's gone. Yeah, for about 5 minutes. And it fills right back in. And we're like, oh, I got to just be rid of that again. And see, unless you bring something new in, the old always kind of brings itself back and makes itself at home. If I'm to tell you to please do not think about the pink elephant, what are you thinking about? Yes. Thank you. I love it when people answer my rhetorical questions. That's good. We do. We think about that. But if we fill it with the blue horse, oh, now the pink elephant's gone. Right? And so instead of us focusing, I guess what I'm getting at here is instead of you guys focusing on, I'm just addicted to this sin. This sin, it's just got me down. This sin's just got me down. I can't, it's all I can think about. I'm just going to get freed from it, freed from this sin. Not going to think about that sin any more. Let's take 7 days. Let's take 7 days and let's try to fill ourselves with the good stuff. Fill ourselves with Jesus. Here's what's really awesome, and if you don't know this, you need to know this. Jesus is not a burden. Reading the Word is not a burden. Prayer is not something that should make you feel guilty. This, actually, it tastes pretty good. Literally, we've been like chewing on this stuff at the campus house for a couple days. And we're like, man, is this stuff going to last? You know, we're just like eating on this stuff. It's like, tastes pretty good. Hey, that's how God is. He doesn't want to give you something to feel that's going to be a burden. It's good stuff. And over the next 7 days, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that we have this Eat for a Cause going on, which is a beautiful idea, by the way. We're eating some rice and saving money to give away to different organizations. And each night as we get there, we're going to have some matzah out. It's called matzah or unleavened bread. We're going to have some of this unleavened bread laying around. And I would encourage you throughout the week, even if you can't make it to that, stop by the campus house, snap off a little bit, eat a little bit of this, and remind yourself, am I being responsible this week with what God, of filling myself with God? Am I reading a little bit? Am I praying a little bit? Am I enjoying the Lord? Am I waking up and at least just saying, God, today's your day. Fill me with you. Let's make an effort to fill ourselves responsibly this week with the Lord. Okay? So now you guys can see where we got some juice and we've got some bread, unleavened bread. And people, this is so concrete. It is so beautiful. And so tonight, let's make this kind of a beginning time. This is the other thing about unleavened bread that I didn't tell you before, is there's a special significance and tension about it that's very serious on the first and the last days. And I want us to take this very seriously here tonight. And I want us to understand that this is a new beginning for a lot of us. And then the rest of the week, you know, it isn't like communion at the campus house. It's just a reminder, you know what I mean? But this is a more significant time. But the rest of the week won't be. Let's read what Jesus actually did on the very night that he was betrayed, at Passover meal with his disciples. This is the last thing we'll read before we take communion together. Then it came the day of unleavened bread in which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Have you guys read that before? It's right there. Isn't that cool? It's right in the Bible. And he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought that that was Jesus' new idea that night. It wasn't. It was him saying, "Hey, I know you guys have been wondering probably for the last 1,000 years why there's three. And for it to be the Passover meal, and for it to be at the end of the meal, and for him to take this out and to actually break bread, we know exactly what was happening in that meal. This is exactly what happens at a Passover meal, what we just did." And Jesus pulled that out. And he said, it's been my body all along. Do this now for the rest of the time in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's take advantage of tonight, huh? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for giving us such clear and concrete examples. Thanks for not being such a mystery out in the blue that we have to figure out, that we have to learn Greek or whatever we think we need to do, but that we actually get to be with you, to experience you, and to fill you up within us. Thanks for these feasts and how they point to you. Thanks that you died on that cross. Thanks that you freed us. And now that we're free, I ask that we would be responsible with that freedom. I pray that we would be responsible in grabbing hold of you, that we would eat of you in many different ways this week, starting tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.